Good morning, everybody. Today you're listening to KDRT 95.7 FM Davis at kdrt.org. Today we're going to be having some groups discuss a variety of topics ranging from art and culture to lifestyle. First off, we have Saz with me, Aiden.
I'm Suwon.
And I'm Zhi.
And then usually we'd have Chang with us, but he's out sick today. But today we'll be talking about people's daily habits, what they do, like maybe when they wake up in the morning throughout the day, and what they think makes their daily habits unique in some way. Or what's something special that they do that they feel like they can't start their day without doing that thing. And so we've interviewed some students, and we'll also be talking about our own habits a little bit. But to start off, we have an interview.
Hey guys, today we're going to be talking to some people about their daily routines and what they think makes their routine. You can introduce yourself if you'd like.
Anya Rao.
Okay, Anya, first question. What do you think, what's your daily routine like when you wake up in the morning?
Yeah, so in the morning, I like to wake up early, usually around like 6:30-ish, and I like to start to my day with a good shower, brush my teeth, and I like to make breakfast every single morning, and also coffee. I love coffee. And then I usually have morning classes, so I do my morning classes, and I like to stay on campus to do homework, so I usually get back home late at night around like 7:38, and then I eat a quick dinner, and then I just do homework. That's majority of my day.
Awesome. Sounds like a pretty standard but nicely thought out day. Would you say there's anything that you think makes your daily routine special or unique in some way?
Yeah, for sure. I am very particular about my morning routine. If I don't have a couple hours in the morning to like kind of ease into the day, I won't have a good day is the way that I think about it. I need to make my bed every single morning, like without fail. And my stuffed animals need to be in a certain order. If they're not in a certain order, it does not make me happy. I like to do from smallest to biggest. So it's a particular order, and I need to make breakfast every single morning and a cup of coffee every single morning.
Awesome. That's all I have for you. Thanks a lot, Anya. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you.
All right. So that was our first interviewee. We had with us a girl named Anya. She was very particular about the way her stuffed animals are arranged in the morning, which understandable. Like if you want to make your bed, make sure your room's all nice and put together before you leave for the day to make sure when you come home, it's all nice and arranged. I think that's totally understandable. Personally, I have a bit of a messier bed, but you know, to each their own. If I had to say, if there's one thing that I feel like I have to do every morning for my morning routine, that would probably be something along the lines of like, I have a very specific order in which I do everything. Like I turn the shower on, I brush my teeth while I wait for it to heat up. I take a shower. I just have a very particular order and time that I wake up that I do every single day. And if I wake up like a little bit earlier, a little bit later, it really like throws me off my rhythm. It makes it kind of just throws everything a little bit out of whack. But yeah, next up we have Z, and she's going to talk a little bit about her daily routine and have an interview for us.
I've just got another interview for you and hope you enjoyed that.
Hi, good morning. And today's topic is about like something like daily hobbies. And do you have like daily habits?
I usually like to watch variety shows, and I spend more time every day to relax and enjoy entertainment.
Oh, I see. I also love like watching reality program. And how do you just make this habit?
Mainly because variety shows can relax me. Sometimes I'm very tired from work or study all day, and watching relaxing and interesting programs can help me relieve stress. At the same time, variety shows can also bring some new ideas, such as observing the communication method of different guests or understanding some interesting social topics.
Like, what type of reality show do you love? Are there any like favorite
favorite programs or favorite reality show that you love most?
I like to watch Korean reality show variety shows the most because Korean variety shows are well developed and the game settings are very good and the editing is very interesting. It can make me laugh.
Yeah, I think this is a really good habit. It's just to make me like get off some stress and like losing some stress to get love in this program. And thanks for the interview. Hope you have a good day. And our interviewer just talked about like her daily habits is like watching reality show every day. And I also is a really reality show fan. And I think this kind of habits like just make you get rid of like some stress you get from study or get from work every day, and that will make you feel happy, happy to work or something for the rest of the day. And I also just watch a reality show that I will introduce to you these days. It's called Inferno and it's on Netflix. It's also in Korean like reality show, and I think Korean reality show is really like of mysterious or really interesting for us, for like young people. And next we will introduce Siwen to give us like her interviews.
Yeah, so let's hear about our interview first. Okay, so what is a special habit for you for your daily routine?
So every day before I do anything like productive, I usually like to open a Minesweeper, the game, and just wing around of the toughest mode of Minesweeper. And then if I wing on the first or second try, I'll have a really good mood so I can be really productive.
Oh, so why you choose this game?
I mean, it's a very, very classic video game. You can't even say it's the most classic one. And I've been playing it since a very, very young age. My grandpa actually taught me how to play it.
So you just use this game to get into study conditions?
Yeah, like to turn on the study mode or turn on the productive mode.
Oh, that's interesting. But if you always lose, will it interrupt your mood of study?
Definitely a little bit, but, well, I still win. After I win the first one, I'm like, okay, now it's time to get down to the study.
But do you feel like play this game will make you waste a lot of times when you have to study a lot of things?
I mean, it's tradition. It doesn't count in as like that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So that's a really interesting habit. To think back to myself, I do have to check all my social media apps or emails to make sure I don't forget to reply to any messages. So I think this may also be a way to help myself to get into a mood of study. And for myself, a special habit in my daily routine is every day I have to prepare meals for my two cats before I leave for school. So they're siblings and 1.5 years old. Unlike just giving them regular cat food, I enjoy making their meals myself. Sometimes fish, sometimes chicken. And I also add things they love like eggs or fish oil. So this process is very relaxing. And also satisfying because I know I'm giving them a balanced diet, making sure they get enough nutrition. And the best part is watching them eat. Feels like the perfect way to begin my day. And yeah, that's my part. And thank you for listening. And now let's listen to the interview of Chen.
Hi, Zachary. Thanks for joining me today. Can you tell me about a special habit you do every day?
Sure. One habit I never skip is drinking a glass of warm water for first thing in the morning. It helps me wake up and makes me feel refreshed.
That sounds like a healthy start. Do you have a specific morning routine after that?
Yes, after drinking water, I do some light stretching or yoga for about 10 or 15 minutes. It helps loosen my muscle and gives me more energy for the day.
That's a good habit. Do you also eat breakfast every morning?
Yes, I always try to have a healthy breakfast. Usually, I eat some fruit, eggs, and toast or oatmeal. A good breakfast helps me stay focused and keeps me full until lunch.
Sounds like a good routine. What about during the day? Do you have any other special habits?
One thing I always do is to take a short walk after lunch. Even if I'm busy, I'm trying to go outside for at least 10 minutes. It helps with digesting and gives me a mental break.
That makes sense. Do you have any habits that help you stay productive?
Yes, I make a to-do list every morning. Writing down my tasks and helps me stay organized and focused. I always like to walk in short stations, about 45 minutes, and then take a 5-minute break. It keeps me from feeling too tired.
That's a
great... ...and focused. I always like to walk in short stations, about 45 minutes, and then take a 5-minute break. It keeps me from feeling too tired.
That's a great strategy. What about your evening routine?
In the evening, I try to avoid using my phone too much before bed. Instead, I like to read a book for about 20 minutes. It helps me relax and fall asleep more easily.
That sounds like a good habit. Do you think these daily habits have made a big difference in your life?
Yes, definitely. Those small habits help me feel healthier and reduce stress and improve my focus. Even if I have a busy day, I try to stick to my routine as much as possible.
That's great. Thank you for sharing your daily special habits with me.
You're welcome. I hope it's helpful.
Okay, y'all. That'll be all for Saz today. Next up, we have Wildcard, and they'll be on in a minute.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to KDRT Radio, 95.7 in Davis, California. I'm joined by the rest of the Wildcard crew. My name is Marty.
My name is Madeline.
My name is Alex.
Roger.
Three.
All right, and we're diving into sleep habits of college students, exploring how they manage rest during their busy schedules. So we had a chance to interview three students about their personal experiences with sleep. And let's hear what the first one had to say.
Okay, so if you want, you can say your name.
Hello, my name is David.
All right, so the first question is, how long do you sleep on average every night?
I try to get about 7 to 8 hours of sleep, but then again, I don't really plan it. I just try to get in bed by 10 o'clock every night and then wake up by 7 every morning.
Do you think sleep affects other parts of your life? Or your health, even?
Most definitely. For a while, I didn't really sleep a lot and, you know, like, stay up way past my bedtime. And it was really affecting me, like, mood-wise. It didn't make me, like, want to eat breakfast in the morning, and then I'd be skipping breakfast. So it was just, like, a domino effect. But, yeah, like, once I really started to tune in with my sleep, my life changed for the better.
Do you have any, like, sleep routines that help you get to sleep? Or do you struggle to sleep at all?
No routines that, like, help me sleep. Like, I don't take any, like, ZQL or CBD stuff, any of that. I just kind of put my head down and go to bed. Yeah.
Do you have, like, an ideal sleep environment? Like, do you need any needs, specific needs for your sleep?
I think if I was, like, on a schedule and, like, living at my house and going to bed, no needs. But, like, also, like, if I was, like, stranded and I needed to go to bed, I would just go to bed. Like, I wouldn't really think about it. Maybe, like, crawl up on a floor.
What is your ideal sleep environment?
My ideal sleep environment is my bedroom, with, like, 3 blankets and 2 pillows. Nothing more, nothing less. If it's in the summertime, you know, got to crank back a couple comforters, just a couple sheets. You know, in the wintertime, more comforters.
Do you think your diet affects your sleep? Like, do you drink caffeine or alcohol, and does that affect your sleep schedule or anything?
Yes and no. I mean, if I drink a cup of coffee before, like at 8 o'clock and I went to bed at 10, I think I still can get to bed. I just don't think, and I could be wrong, I'm not a doctor or anything, but I don't think it's going to give you the best sleep because your brain is probably still active.
My name's Adriana.
All right, so I'll ask you the first question. So how long on average do you sleep?
I'd say about 6 hours.
Do you think that's sufficient enough?
I mean, I'd say so. It keeps me going.
Do you think that sleep, or how does sleep affect other parts of your life, maybe even your health?
I feel like the more rest I get, I definitely feel more productive throughout the day. If I'm tired, I just don't feel like doing stuff.
Do you have any, like, sleep routines or things that help you sleep at night?
I wouldn't say it's helpful, but before going to sleep, I usually, like, just watch videos.
Nice.
But it's not helpful.
Do you have, like, an ideal sleep environment? Like, what needs to be?
Yeah, there's no lights at all. It needs to be completely black, and there has to be no sound, for sure.
Do you think your diet affects your sleep anyway, like caffeine or alcohol?
I wouldn't say so.
Do you think your screen time and blue light exposure affects your sleep quality?
Yes. Like I said before, going to sleep, like watching videos, I feel like I could definitely get more rest if I didn't do that.
My name is Wendy. I am a fourth-year student. My major is human development with a double minor in African American Studies and Education. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. So, how long do you sleep on average?
I'd say anywhere between like 4 to 8 hours.
And do you think your sleep affects other parts of your life, maybe your health or?
I wouldn't say necessarily my health. I would definitely say like the sleep affects like the way my mood is for the next day in a way.
And do you have, like, any, like, sleep routines that, like, help you sleep or that you have to do before you go to bed?
Not really. Just as long as, my lights are off or, like, the room is dark, then I can easily fall asleep. I can't sleep with the light on, though. Like, I can't.
That's my next question. Like, what is your ideal sleep environment like?
It's mainly, like, I like to sleep in the dark. Like, I can have, like, LED lights, but, like, I just can't have, like, you know, like, I feel like LED lights and, like, the room lights, like, two different things. So as long as, like, the light is not, like, not beaming in my face or, like, the light is, like, at dim. Other than that, I just sleep in the dark.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you want.
All right. So, Madeline, what's your preferred sleep environment? What do you need to have a good night's rest?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I need a little bit of noise, so maybe some white noise. Usually my fan makes some sort of sound, so I like to keep that on, and then I need it to be completely dark. I can't sleep with any light on.
What about like pillows? Do you have like one pillow or like a couple?
I have a couple pillows on my bed because I'm not a freak, but I typically only use one, I would say.
Okay.
What about you?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I like to sleep with like a, you know, kind of cold room, get that fan going for the white noise. And I also need to sleep with like a harem of pillows, you know, like a body pillow to hold for my knees and my arms, and then like a pillow behind my back, you know, so I'm like in that correct position to like sleep, you know.
That is very interesting.
It helps, man. It's a game changer.
Do you sleep on your side in that configuration, or is there?
Yeah, I'm usually like a side sleeper. I'll kind of roll over, you know, flip flop. So, but let's see, Alex, what's your sleep environment look like?
I feel like mine's pretty standard, but like I don't know, I really struggle to sleep. Like the condition has to be really right. Obviously, it has to be dark, but like any noise at all, like just keeps me up for some reason. Like, my ears are so sensitive to like any sound. So, like, I can't even listen to white noise or music or videos, like Adriana mentioned. So, it's, like, really important for me to have a really quiet environment, which most of the time it is. But, you know, sometimes there's little things that you hear.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's do some sleep trivia, you guys.
All right, let's see. What do you got for us, Madeline?
Okay, so, and anyone feel free to answer this. I don't know if you guys would prefer to be on teams or if you want to play individually. Maybe we're doing teams in here. Yes?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Let's do teams.
Teams? Okay, all right.
So, Siri and Roger. Marty and Alex, and we got Team Roger and Zuri.
Okay. All right. According to MedlinePlus.gov, what percent of adults are getting 6 hours or less of sleep each night? A, about 10%, B, about 20%, C, about 30%, or D, about 50%?
I don't understand the question. I'm just kidding. What do you think,
Marty? D, 50%.
Yeah, I would agree. What do you guys, what do you use your
answer? B, 20%.
Ooh, okay, let's see.
I chose D.
Ooh.
Let's go!
Oh, it looks like you guys were both wrong. The correct answer is 30%. So nearly 30% of adults sleep on average about 6 hours or less each night. Do you guys find yourself in that category? Do you
sleep? Tonight it was, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's more 100% for me.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, what's the next question?
All right, moving on. Lack of sleep is linked to which of the following? A, car accidents. B, industrial disasters. C, medical errors. D, errors at work. Or E, all of the above.
What? Medical errors? Yeah, let's go with that. Is that C or something?
Medical errors is C, yes.
It's C.
What about you guys?
Let's
what
go
are
C. What are you guys going to do?
E. Me too. Sad E.
Bing! Yes, that answer right? is correct. There we are. Yeah. Oh, you guys are losing
what?
Right now.
Yep. I thought we got it right.
Alex jumped
no.
the gun.
Yeah, we got 1 point.
Alex did jump the gun.
You were the one who said, let's do that.
The correct answer is all the above. So lack of sleep can cause you to nod off while driving or lose focus at work, and this can lead to serious accidents and work errors. So do not drive a car, operate heavy machinery, or try to do anything too difficult or risky when you're tired. Like maybe a radio show. Yeah. I don't know. What do you guys think about that one?
I think so.
I think that should be added to the list.
Just drink more coffee.
Sure. Okay, we're moving on. Which of the following is not a good sleep habit? A, getting up at the same time every day. B, avoiding big meals before bedtime. C, sleeping in on the weekends. D, avoiding caffeine after 2 p.m. Or E, avoiding alcohol before bed.
That's like all of them. They what?
Can I hear the question
it's,
again,
which of
please?
The following is not a good sleep habit?
I'd say eating before bed.
Oh, wow, that does affect you.
Wait, sorry.
what was A? Can you repeat A?
A is getting up at the same time every day.
That's got to be fine. Yeah, that's got to be. This, habit, yeah, there's no way. It's just, okay, I'm going
to
so which
is not a good sleep.
Yeah.
What? Which is not.
A good sleep
what? Habit.
Yeah. Okay, Roger and Zuri, I think, are going to answer
yeah,
this
I think
one,
it's a D.
I'm going D as well.
Yeah.
Drink alcohol before bed. You guys don't even remember. The correct answer was C.
Oh.
But eating a big meal is terrible before bed.
Sleeping in on the weekends was C.
Oh.
I think what this game has shown us is that you guys are just not very good listeners.
<That's true.
laughs> Maybe we're visual learners in the radio station.
That's my red flag.
Maybe a true or false question will be a little easier for us to navigate. You guys okay with that? True or false?
Yeah.
I think I can manage
okay.
that.
True.
It's only A and B, right?
Yes, true. It'll be true or false, because that's the whole aspect, right, of true or false question. So true or false, you need the same amount of sleep throughout your lifespan.
That's a false.
Don't jump the gun.
Okay, I'm
true.
Okay, Roger and Siri said true. What is your guys' answer? Are you going to go 50-50 with them, or are you going to agree with them?
I mean, you need more as a kid, as you're older. I mean, you still need sleep as a kid. What do you think, true?
I think it's,
okay, well, let's go true.
I'll try. I go to Fox.
See you.
And you guys are both wrong. The answer is false. So sleep patterns change with age, like Alex was saying. He was on the right track, but clearly these teams are not working out too well for y'all. Sleep patterns change with age, and plus not everyone needs the same amount of sleep, so it's dependent on the individual. Let's do another true or false question. So true or false, sleeping pills are the best treatment for insomnia.
I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but I would say probably not. There's probably other stuff that helps.
What would Michael Jackson say?
Let's go false. Yeah. Let's go false. What do you guys gonna do?
I think true, I guess.
The correct answer is false. So sleeping.
Wait, we got right.
Yeah, you guys got it right. Congratulations, nice. Your first
are
question.
Are we tied now, I think?
No. Oh, God, I don't even know at this point. I don't think so. I think you guys are losing.
Can we do double points, final question?
Double points for the final question?
Double or nothing.
Yes, we can do that. Okay, let's find a really good question.
Is true or false?
Yes, it'll be true or false, Roger. Okay. This one I think would be a good one for college students. So true or false, drinking alcohol before bed will help you sleep better.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think that's...
It'll knock you out.
Contradictory to popular belief, that is wrong. You should not drink before bed.
So you're saying it's false?
You guys need to be on the same page. This is
a
team.
Come
you
on,
agree?
Bro. I agree with them. False.
You're agreeable?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you guys think?
I think it's about true.
Yes, you guys are both right. The correct answer is false. So drinking alcohol might make you sleepy, but it keeps you from getting a deep sleep. And if you have sleep apnea, drinking alcohol can make symptoms worse, so you should avoid alcohol close to bedtime. Are you guys familiar with sleep apnea? Who won? I don't even...
I won.
None. Nobody in this office has won.
No, I think we won.
Can we all be winners?
Sure.
Can you give us
everyone
that,
can have their participation trophy. All
right. Well, looks like that's all the time we have, so... up next is Lass with Arts and Culture. So stick around and we'll be right back.
Good morning, Davis. You're listening to KDRT 95.7. We are Lass. I'm Sasha.
I'm Alyssa.
I'm Leah.
And we're joined by Shane. Today we're going to be talking about the Oscars, which the Oscars are coming up in 2 weeks, but since all of us are film majors, it's definitely been on our minds. We're mostly going to be focusing on nominees for Best Picture, because it's a long list. It's also a pretty confusing list. But before we get into it, we're going to hear from Katie Borgeson, who gave us some of her opinions on how she feels about the Oscars.
Can you introduce yourself? Hello, my name is Katie Borgeson. I'm a double major in sociology and linguistics.
So,
I hear you like movies. We're going to talk a little about movies.
I love movies.
Have you seen any of the films nominated for Best Picture in the Oscars?
Yes. I've seen Wicked. Wait, I don't remember what's on it. Anora.
The Brutalist is nominated.
I'm going to see that.
Yeah. A Complete
Unknown. I've seen A Complete Unknown.
Is that nominated for Best Picture?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it is. I think A Real Pain got kind of snubbed. Wait, what else is nominated for Best Picture?
I think Emilia Perez might be.
Oh, I watched that. I saw that.
Well, that one's controversial, so what were your thoughts on that?
Okay, here's the thing. I think that a lot of people's thing with the whole music element has to do with the fact that a lot of people outside of theater aren't used to seeing theater in, like, a serious context. Like, I feel like a lot of the musical theater that we see is, like, Wicked. It's, like, more lighthearted. Mm-hmm. So I think that, like, it felt silly to people for them to, like, break out into song out of nowhere. But I feel like if you watch theater, that's not that weird. But I feel like it, I don't think it was as bad as people thought it was. I think Selena Gomez's Spanish was terrible. But that was a little rough. Mm-hmm. But I, like, liked the, like, concept of it. Like, I thought it was, like, an interesting idea. Like, to see, like, somewhere from, like, the most, like, peak of, like, masculinity, like, being in, like, a space like that. And, but, like, exploring your feminine side and stuff like that, like transitioning from like such a like scary like space. It was like an interesting concept. I think it could have been done differently, and I think they tried to do too many plots at once too.
Beautiful analysis.
Yeah.
What do you think should win Best Picture this year? Like, other than obviously The Brutalist, which you haven't seen, but
I feel like knowing them, like, The Brutalist probably will.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I haven't seen The Substance either, but it seems really cool, and I feel like that would be, like, a good...
Well, you don't like gore?
I don't like gore. It freaks me out, but I've, like, heard so many good things. From, like, what I've seen, I really liked Anora.
I really liked Anora.
Liked Anora. I felt like it was a good, like, capture of, like, she, like, using her body felt, like, powerful to her for like a long time, and then I think it was like that experience of like she felt like she like had someone who like saw her as more than that, like someone who like wanted her like as a person.
Yeah.
And then she realized that like she had lost a lot of that power in her body, and that it maybe hadn't been that like powerful for her, which I feel like is like an interesting concept.
Have you seen other films by Sean Baker, like The Florida Project?
I have seen The Florida Project. Oh my god, cried. Brilliant.
I will say, like, one blip in his career was probably Red Rocket.
Oh my god, I didn't see that, but I, like, heard about it.
It was not good, but I think The Florida Project might be, like, one of the most cinematically beautiful films of all time.
What a great movie.
Okay, and then my last question is, which film do you hope wins Best Picture?
Okay. I feel like of my options for nominees...
All right, so that was a little clip from my interview with Katie Borgeson discussing Oscar noms. We did have to cut a little piece out on the end because one of the seven words was dropped. But we're going to talk about the nominees for Best Picture. First, we're going to give you a little insight into what they are, and then everyone's going to share their thoughts on who they think should win. So, Anora, The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Emilia Perez, I'm Still Here, Nickel Boys, The Substance, and Wicked are nominated for Best Picture. Do you guys have any preliminary thoughts about who you think may win, who should win?
Yeah, I mean, me personally, I've only seen Wicked and Dune Part 2. But I have heard really good things about The Brutalist, about The Substance as well. So, you know, maybe one of those would win. And I do have plans to watch them all. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see what wins.
Yeah, I've only seen Dune Part 2 within this list. And I will say, I think it's a great movie. I just don't think a sequel should win the Oscars.
I disagree with you, Shane, but we'll move on.
Yeah, and then I also have only seen Wicked. However, The Substance has been on my radar for, like, oh, that looks really interesting. And I think, personally, Margaret Qualley's, like, really fine. So it's part of my criteria.
Shane, can you elaborate on this sequel shouldn't win Best Picture?
I gotta know.
Okay. So it kind of stems from a video game background where, they try to push DLC as games. And I'm like, no, that's not okay. But... Like, also, yeah, I don't think sequels should win. Because I think more original works of art should be pushed more than new renditions or sequels of films.
I actually see where you're coming from with that. Yeah. I did think that Dune Part 2 was phenomenal. I thought that the first one was phenomenal.
I think Dune Part 2 is actually better than Dune Part 1.
Interesting take. but I do think that this is the year where Timothée Chalamet or something that Timothée Chalamet is in deserves to win something mm-hmm. because he's been up and at him since, like, what, 2017? Like, that man, like, he's coming up on 30. His time's almost up. So, no, I'm kidding. Okay. Not what? Me threatening Timothée Chalamet.
Was Florence Pugh in this movie?
Florence Pugh was in Dune Part 2.
No, not that. But wait. Oh, wait. Yeah,
Timmy, yeah, she was.
Is Timmy nominated for 2?
He's not nominated for Dune Part 2, but he's nominated for Best Actor for A Complete Unknown, which, speaking of A Complete Unknown, I feel like we should talk about biopics for a second.
I like them.
I like them.
They're like my favorite genre of movies.
As long as they're done properly, then I think they're good.
Yeah, something noted in our interview that we cut a little bit short, there was a very extended conversation about biopics, which is really interesting. Do you want to share more?
Yes, we did have to cut this because I did say a swear word, but it's because it was about Donald Trump. Let's talk about The Apprentice. I think that this film was snubbed for Best Picture. The cinematography, the editing, the acting. He is nominated for Best Actor.
This was for Sebastian Stan, right?
Sebastian Stan. It was phenomenal. Like, if you have not seen it, even if you know all there is to know about Trump or, like, that kind of stuff, this is a must watch. I truly think it's a must watch.
I have heard good things about it, so maybe I'll tune in, see what's going on. Plus, I like Sebastian Stan as well, and I know, like, I heard he did well in that movie. So,
yeah, but I gotta watch The Complete Unknown. Like, it's just up there on my list. Yeah. I feel bad that I wasn't able to watch it, but it's not my fault. I blame the theaters not showing it more, like pushing it for another week.
And then, speaking of more about the Oscars, what do you guys think about, like, Wicked, Emilia Perez, and just, you know, celebrities being in these films and other interesting topics?
I never saw Wicked.
I think Wicked was really well done. I was not a fan of Wicked before the movie, but I was friends with people who are. So I've seen a lot of, like, people that have been excited about it. And I will say, I think Ariana Grande did a good job. I feel like people were kind of, you know, not looking forward to her. Some weren't. But I feel like she did better than I expected. And I'd say it was a good film.
What about animated movies? I like Wallace and Gromit.
Can I give my 2 cents about Wicked before we...
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
So, on principle, have not seen it. But that's because traumatized former theater kid. Also, not the biggest fan of Ariana Grande.
That's also
funny. Not sure I could sit through 3 hours of a musical. Like, the only musical film that I've been able to sit through is Les Mis, because it's just, like, classic.
What about Hamilton?
That's not a movie.
Yeah.
What, like the Disney Plus recording?
Yeah. I watched the sing-along one.
See, like, I really like the do-do-do-do-do-do-do, but, like, I can't sit through 3 hours of that.
He was in the room where it happened.
What are your thoughts, Alyssa, on Wicked?
I really like the songs. I've never been too much into musicals, but I just really liked all the memes that came out of it. Like, do you know the one Cynthia meme where she's at Target and she's like, that's my line. And she just riffs. That's crazy.
No, but I do know about holding space. Speaking of, Shane, I cut you off. So let's hold space for some animated Oscar-nominated films for Wallace and Gromit.
Wallace and Gromit's so good. It was so creepy. Like, did you guys watch it?
No, I haven't seen. I mean, I saw Wallace and Gromit as a kid.
No, but the new one has, like,
the new one. No.
Wait, Mads is standing right here, so come give us your 2 cents, Mads. What do you think about Wallace and Gromit?
Wallace and Gromit's good. It's like a really, you know, it's a really poignant commentary on, like, the use of AI and automation, especially because Wallace and Gromit's relationship is built on, like, Wallace being like this cool inventor and Gromit making it all happen, and they got close that way. And then the movie's premise is that Gromit effectively gets replaced by like these easily clonable gnomes that Gromit invents.
Fascinating. Maybe I'll tune into that one as well, Shane.
I feel like I just got sold on it hearing
it's,
about gnomes.
It's like man versus nature. Almost, no, like industrialization versus nature.
I know that they had like, not a photo shoot, but they just had a really well-rendered photo of Wallace and Gromit in preparation for the Oscars. And I was like, dang, that's crazy.
I'm not sure which award show it was for. It must have been the Golden Globes, but the creators showed up with like little models of them, which I thought was really cute. And I think that that was like, it was a beautiful tribute to just animation in general. We were talking about this beforehand, but a lot of us here are fans of animation. I just haven't really been watching that many animated films as of recent. It's more been TV, but I feel like that's something I have to get more into.
Yep, yep. I agree. Like, I need to watch Flow. Apparently it was like a really good movie. And I feel like it's probably going to be Wallace and Gromit's main competitor.
Yeah, I'm not too big of an Oscars fan, and the animations I'm into are more of independent projects. But yeah, I think I'm also kind of sold on Wallace and Gromit.
Yeah, see, I'm going to have to watch it. Mads gave us a very detailed summary, so I'm kind of excited, not going to lie.
So there was one more film that I wanted to bring up that I think we should talk about. We touched on Dune, so if there's more that you guys want to say about that, happy to speak about it. But Anora has been on like everyone's minds this award cycle season. Mikey Madison won a BAFTA on Sunday, which was a huge deal. And in her speech, she highlighted like her respect for the sex work community. And I think that it was really important. And it was a super important portrayal of a field that is usually misrepresented. Have you guys, because I know you guys have not seen it, but have you heard anything about it that stands out to you?
I have no idea what this is about.
I've heard that it's good, and I've seen TikToks about it, and TikToks about, what's her name, Mikey Madison, but I haven't seen the film, but I do want to.
I've definitely seen TikToks about it. I remember one where it was a lot of, I believe, people who worked in the sex work industry. They like all came to the theater together, and then before the film started, they were like clicking their heels together, and I felt that that was really interesting and like kind of heartwarming.
Yeah, the actress who played Anora has been doing a lot of advocacy work since starring in the film. This was also pointed out in my interview with Katie, but it was just super like empowering to like see real life struggles, I guess, like as a woman. And the fact that this is being recognized by the Academy is a huge deal. Do I think it's gonna win? No. Do I think it deserves to? Also probably not, because there are some huge contenders in this category. But again, like, film is subjective, so we'll see.
Yeah, and I think even just being nominated is already like a big deal for that film as well, so I think it's really great.
The Academy does have a history of like short, like, not doing very nice to certain films and certain groups of people.
Yeah,
which is really annoying.
Well, I think a big word we hear every award like season is snubbed. And that's a word that definitely I've been using a lot in my vocabulary. I'm sure in 2 weeks when I have my big Oscars party, get all dressed up, get excited, even though it's like not that big of a deal. We're in Davis, California. But like, snubbed is going to be a big word for me.
That's the theme of the party.
The theme is snubbed.
It'll be interesting to see what gets snubbed and what doesn't and what should be snubbed. But what isn't?
What do you think should be snubbed, Leah?
Oh, I don't know. Emilia Perez.
Tell us more.
I have not watched the film, so maybe I shouldn't be making commentary on it. But I've just seen a lot of people are unhappy with the film and with the way it was made. And I've heard a lot of people say it's like disrespectful to the Mexican community and all of that. Which, you know, I haven't seen it, so maybe I shouldn't be saying anything about it, but I think it's also interesting that it was made by a French man, and it, like, all French, like, crew, right? Mm-hmm. But then maybe just didn't portray certain communities in the best light or in the best way that they could have in the film. But other than that, I have nothing else that should be snubbed.
I also haven't seen it, but I don't have the fondest feelings about it. I just know when I first saw clips about it, bashing it, I saw Gamora, and I was like, why is Gamora here?
Yeah, I love Zoe Saldana, but it's an interesting film. So maybe I'll tune in, though, so I can have real thoughts about it.
Okay. I know that tonight I'm going to watch Nickel Boys, which I looked at it on Amazon Prime, and it had 2 stars, but it's, like, doing pretty well on Rotten Tomatoes, and also, like, still nominated for Best Picture. I think it's a super important story to be told. It's about a reformery school in Jim Crow era in the South, and it's a true story, so I'm looking forward to watching that, but it's supposed to be a pretty emotional one.
It sounds good. Maybe I'll tune in.
As much as I like to have to watch that, our time's up for our desk, so see you guys later.
Thank you. Hello, you're listening to KDRT 95.7 FM in Davis, California. We are Radio Rebel, and we're here to talk about the Davis community. So, Zach, where did we go yesterday?
Yesterday, we went to the Davis Farmers Market, held between 3 to 6 every Wednesday, I think on Saturday as well. And we wanted to just kind of connect with the community a little bit, you know, get an idea of what the vendors think about, you know, selling to our little town here. And yeah, we got to talk to some of them, and we'd like to share one of the interviews we got.
Yeah, so Jeremy, why don't you play the first interview?
So here's our interview. Hope you guys enjoy that.
I'm Sienna.
And hello, we are still at the Davis Farmers Market with
I'm Sienna.
And we're here at Upper Crest Bakery. So tell us a bit about your business, how it started, and how it's going now.
Yeah, so I work for Upper Crest Baking, located in Davis and in Winters. We're right next door to the co-op, 634 G Street is our address. We are a family-owned business.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay, I'm like, I don't really know off the top of my head the year
we have editors.
Okay, I'm like, oh my God, the pressure. So hold on, let me actually see when we opened up. We have been a bakery since, it doesn't even say. So my job provides me a lot of great opportunities to interact with the community. We also do farmers markets in Sacramento, which I personally work at more consistently. So it's great opportunity for community outreach out there. We've actually partnered with local businesses like Goodside Coffee, located in Sacramento. We give them our bagels wholesale, so we've had a lot of great opportunities to work with other businesses as well and some collaboration. We are open to doing all kinds of pop-ups at different types of local festivals, like the Whole Earth Festival or the Cherry Blossom Festival. We are very passionate about what we do, and
come in and see us if you're interested in eating some bread. Yeah, sorry.
So,
I didn't really know what to say.
You're so good. You're doing so great.
Yeah, you're totally okay.
We have editors. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
I'm like, oh, they're gonna...
So...
We've seen our community grow, specifically at our respective markets. People really like their product. We get a lot of regulars, so when people find a bread that they're really, really into, they come back, they bring a lot of their friends. I've made really, really great connections with a lot of regulars for this reason. And yeah, I mean, obviously, we've opened up two different storefronts just in the past, like, 5 to 10 years. So our business has really grown. We also just opened up a patio in our Davis location, so people can come, drink coffee, eat some pastries, and hang out. It's a really, really great hangout spot. We've met a lot of different types of community members, a lot of different types of community groups that we are affiliated with. And so, yeah, I think that our bakery is kind of a staple point in helping our community grow a little bit more in that respect.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much for meeting with us. Guys, if you're hungry for bread, go to Upper Crest Baking. Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Okay, yeah. So we actually played the unedited version, but I feel like you guys deserve the raw cut. So I guess that worked out in the end.
Deserved the screaming baby.
Yeah, the screaming baby in the background. Really, really enjoyable.
He was like a fully grown child. Yep. But,
you can find that in any location, and we're just being real with you guys.
Yeah.
But the food that they had selling, like the bread and like the cookies and the bagels and stuff, they looked amazing. Like, I was really fighting the urge to buy some oatmeal raisin cookies because they looked really, really bomb. So
and
I highly
the lady
recommend
actually recommended the oatmeal raisin cookies, so I will be coming back on Saturday to get some. I will also be coming back for bagels. That's a promise.
No, they looked freshly baked, as well as, like, as she mentioned, there was a ton of different options, as well as, like, locations where they do serve their bakery goods. And apparently, they also have been, like, really focused on, like, hearing back from community and, like, turning that around to what they give out to the public. So it's really nice to see how a business has been impacted and has changed to work with the Davis community. We have someone else who we interviewed that makes their own tea from scratch and has been selling for 2.5 years at Davis. And I think we should have a edited version of this one to play for you guys right now. Enjoy.
Hello, hello. We're here with...
My name is Victoria Sheridan. My business is Sunflowers and Sage Herb Farm, and we are located in Dixon, California.
All right. So we came by the Davis Farmers Market, and we decided to come by one of the stands that looked the coolest. So pat yourself on the back. You have amazing presentation. We'd like to ask you, how long have you been doing this for?
So I've been in business about 3 years, and I've been a consistent vendor at the Davis Farmers Market, both on Saturday and Wednesday, for about 2.5 years.
Wow. So you don't miss it, do you? That's cool. Did you, like, have an idea what your product was going to be coming here, or do you feel like it's developed as you've kept coming here over the 2 years?
The product line is actually really developed because of customers, and a lot of my products are very customer driven. I did start out selling herbs. I grew up on an herb farm. My mother was an herb lady. So when I went into business for myself, it was kind of a natural thing to start growing and selling herbs and tea. And a lot of the line of the tea, especially the tea, has been inspired by customers who ask me about a certain type of tea, or do I grow something? And then I go back to the farm, I grow something, and do trial and error and come up with some tea blends. And then I also just come up with some different tea blends based on things that my mother grew and my mom's notebooks, and then things that I like to drink. I do grow all of the herbs, all the botanicals, and we are growing the tea. We are one of two tea farms in California. It is an emerging crop. The tea plants typically grow in China, India, and Japan. There are some tea farms in the American South and up in the Pacific Northwest. But as far as I know, there's only one other tea farm besides myself in California.
Okay. Yeah, I see a very wide assortment. Did not know you were one of two in the state. I know this is like a little hard because you grow all of them, but if there was one that you had to try, not because I may want to buy one after, which one would be your favorite of the bunch?
Probably my favorite and the one that has the nearest, dearest place in my heart is my sage and lavender white tea. It's one of the first tea blends that I came up with. It is based on all of the things that I grow on my farm. I love sage. It's probably my favorite herb, and I name my farm after it. And I also put sunflower petals in it. So sage and sunflower are the two favorite things that I grow. And we grow a lot of lavender. My mom grew lavender. I grew up with lavender, so I grow a lot of lavender. And sage and lavender together are really nice herbs. And then combined with the white tea is a great mix because white tea is very soft and mild. And so it kind of takes a backseat to the vibrancy of the herbs.
Hey, okay. Yeah, it's really cool to see like that this has kind of been built from the ground up here at Davis and like has taken a lot of the community's feedback in mind when growing it. And it seems like you guys are flourishing and have definitely gotten yourself a little wedge in the market. So it was really nice meeting you today. And if anybody would like to stop by, it is Sunflowers and Sage. And you said Saturdays and Wednesdays?
Saturdays and occasionally Wednesdays. Better be on Wednesday. But okay. Always on Saturday, unless it's raining.
Then they're here. They're here. Come by. Grab some tea, because I am right now. Have a good one, guys. Bye.
I did purchase that tea, and I did have it last night. Pretty bomb.
I also had some tea.
How was yours?
I got the fig, and it was a spice. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Sorry. It was a fig chai, and it was so good. You can really taste the fig in it, because she told me it was a seasonal drink, because she actually grew the figs herself and dry them out, and then put them in the tea. It was so good, so flavorful and delicious. How was yours?
It was great. Yeah, we highly recommend stopping by the Davis Farmers Market. We have been Radio Rebel, and I hope you guys have a good rest of your day.